Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is your host for Live with Barrett. I wasn't so live then, was I? My name is Barrett Clemenson Powell, and I'm supposed to be talking here today with one of our wonderful, amazing entrepreneurs that I've met. And if I happen to suddenly not be live and not be here, just give me a second and I'll reconnect. Sometimes they seem to have technical issues with the network, and I'm not so live. But I'm live again, and our wonderful guest today is Dr. Claire Lynch. I have actually jumped across the pond digitally, and we are talking with Claire from London, England. London is one of my favorite cities. So, Claire, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hello, hello. Yes, well, and I was just telling Claire also before we get into today's topic that I met her as part of a wonderful group of entrepreneurs who are doing many different things but have one thing in common, and that is doing online teaching. Online learning is really setting this world on fire because it is providing an alternative that reaches anywhere in the world. If you can somehow get connected to the internet in any way, you can learn something new. And Claire is one of those persons who's doing that. She'll talk a bit about her course in a moment. So, Dr. Claire Lynch, you are really just a triple threat entrepreneur. You are an author, you are teaching business writing, you are a business writing coach, and you are a professor of academic writing and communication at the University of Cambridge. I'm just amazed. You take my breath away, woman.
Well, I think it's a bit of a stretch to call me a professor, first of all. Let me get that straight before the University of Cambridge sues me. In America...
Oh, I don't want to do that. Okay.
We don't want that. In America, if you teach at a university, you're a professor, whereas over here at a British university, you're only a professor if you've reached a certain grade and you have to be appointed and you get a named chair. So I'm not a professor.
Oh, I think that's actually the same in many places. I should say that correctly. Yes, because I've been during a semester I've been the guest lecturer teaching a course. So then my title has been adjunct or guest lecturer.
Yeah. So I've not achieved professorial status yet, but I go there regularly and help there. Graduates and undergraduates to write a little bit more clearly.
Okay, so don't come after her, University of Cambridge. All right. Well, you have a company that has an interesting name, and for some reason, although I am not British, the names sound familiar. I'm not sure why. It might be the second name that's really somehow resonating in my heart. You have a company called Doris and Bertie. Tell me about this company, and how in the world did billionaire business person Warren Buffett inspire it?
Well, Warren Buffett, as you say, billionaire, he's probably the most successful investor in the world. And one of the reasons that he's such a successful investor is that he works by one rule, which is that you should never invest in something that you don't understand. So, for example, all those really complex derivatives that caused the financial crisis, he wouldn't touch. He saw them as financial weapons of mass destruction. And so he came out of the crisis pretty clean and probably all the richer for it. And he has a similar approach to writing. If you read any of his annual reports or emails to staff, they're all in this wonderfully friendly, almost slightly homey style. And just really, really human. And I think what he doesn't do is he avoids jargon. He avoids language that is hard to understand. So he takes that same emphasis on clarity that he brings to his investments, that he brings to all his writing. And as a company that helps people write clearly, we just really, really connected with this idea. And he wrote the introduction to a guide for writers, for people specifically writing annual reports. And in this introduction, he says, here's my number one writing tip. My number one writing tip is to, when you sit down and write, to write to someone who you can picture, one person, or in his case, two. And what he does is he sits down and writes for his two sisters, Doris and Bertie, because they're intelligent, but they might not get every reference to a financial product or something. So that's where we got our name. A lot of our clients are in financial services, and they love it. So and we love it too. And it's also great because
I... Well, that is a fantastic story.
We were quite pleased with it ourselves, actually, when we came up with it. I run the firm with my husband, so the great joke is that we can introduce ourselves, and I say he's Doris and I'm Bertie. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's really, really great. Oh, my goodness. And I should say I'm really interested in meeting you because of the... what you work with, the academic writing and communication, because my background is in communication. My first academic degree was a Bachelor of Science in mass mm-hmm. communication. And then I went on to be a broadcast and print journalist.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly interested in meeting you. And in fact, I was saying before we actually came on the air that it is my intention, having met you among a group of entrepreneurs, to make a sort of a little European tour of it, actually. And I would love to just land, stay a few days with each person, and just be able to sit in your knowledge, to be bathed with your knowledge. So tell me about this passion that you have about people finding their voice.
Well, what you find with a lot of people is that when they sit down to write pen in hand or at the keyboard, they suddenly become a different person. They become a writer and they go into writer mode. And this manifests itself certainly in the business world in a very, very heavy, jargon-filled, very self-conscious style. And what I'm on a mission to do is to get people to not write like writers, but to write like human beings. So to be friendlier, to be conversational. Because, there's that old, very old, almost cliche that people don't do business with businesses, they do business with people. And what I want people to do is to write like people, not like a business. So it's about getting rid of jargon and complexity.
Well, now, are most of your clients in the UK?
Most of them are, but most will have a sort of global presence. So we have a lot of sort of international companies. But generally, at the moment, most of our clients are in the UK, and certainly my one-to-one coaching clients, although you can do it over the phone or over Skype, that sort of one-to-one relationship, a lot of my work involves sitting down with one person, talking through their writing and helping them just break through that block And a lot of that actually has to be done in person.
Okay, well, two things come to mind. One is, I wonder what the connection is between, you have an incredible, when we are in school in the United States, at least when I went through school, which hasn't been too far, but the No Child Left Behind here, I think, has messed up our education system. That's just an offshoot opinion. However, one thing that I do remember that we did was we focused on two particular canons of literature, and one was American literature, and the other was British literature.
Right.
English literature. This is what we focus on. And in that canon, you have a heritage of an incredible writers, and they're very heavy. They're very formal. And I wonder if that is affecting when people sit down to write, they think, I've got to be as great as Dickens. You know.
Please write. Do not write like Dickens. No. I don't. It's funny that you say this, because what I have found in my work is that actually Americans seem to be much, much more self-critical about things like grammar. They're much more prescriptivist. They like to follow rules of grammar, whereas the English writers I know are much more relaxed about whether a comma goes in a certain place. And I don't know whether that's because we have this history, there's a sort of self-confidence that we can break free of that. I don't know. That's interesting.
Are you perhaps in the UK more focused on vocabulary?
I don't know. All I've noticed, I mean, I got an email from an American professor actually this week, correcting what she perceived as an error in my writing, which the vast majority of professional writers actually wouldn't consider an error. It wasn't necessarily about vocabulary. Certainly just points of grammar, I think, differ very greatly. Yeah. In terms of vocabulary, I'm pretty much trying to get people to use simple words. Winston Churchill said that the old words are the best and the short words are the best. And if you can use a short word instead of a long word, that's always the best word to go for. So if a word sounds like it's been found in a thesaurus, it's probably the wrong word.
Yes. Well, I don't know what it is the difference. I do know we did have a lot of grammar work in school, I will tell you. We do spend, actually, when you get to two particular grades early on when we are learning language arts, as we would call them, we do spend a lot of time focusing on grammar and, in fact, do a thing called diagramming, where we literally are drawing lines and making these diagrams where we place certain words. Words that are in certain category goes on this line, a verb goes here, and an adjective would go here, and an irregular, and a modal. It really becomes very complicated, and yet we get that into our minds. We have to memorize it in order to be able to pass our language arts classes very early on, before we proceed through elementary school. So yes, there may be some difference. At the same time, I will say, in my opinion that I've observed, I love our public television stations in the United States because we get a lot of British programming through our public broadcasting system. I am such a fan. I have been for many, 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 many years. And it takes us about 5 to 10 years to get a show here that is an American version of a British show. I'm so in love with things like Downton Abbey and Mr. Selfridge and just all these, just many things that for many years have been 25 years or so. And your language, you're so witty. The Monty Python, the ways to insult someone with a multitude of words, and they don't realize it.
I mean, I have to say, Downton Abbey does not reflect British life. the idea that any of us are like Maggie Smith, I mean, I wish I could deliver put downs like she does. But yeah, I think we do place a certain value on words. I mean, crosswords are a very, I mean, I know you have crosswords in the US. I don't know if you have cryptic crosswords, which are all about wordplay and playing games with language. There is a very, and I don't know if it's, you know, we've got it from Shakespeare, it's just part of our culture, that we do love to play with words.
Well, I think it's just simply wonderful. Now, let me ask, if I came to you and I said, I need help. I need to write a presentation for my company. I need business writing coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we start?
We start with you. Well, first of all, I'd get you to jot down what it is that you feel your strengths and weaknesses are, and what it is you think you need to work on. And we start with you showing me some of your work. And the more writing I see from a coaching client, the more I can help them, because you see the same things crop up often over and over again. But everybody has a different problem that they're grappling with, and often it's actually psychological. I sometimes feel like a therapist. You know, I've got one client at the moment who's incredibly, devastatingly hard on herself because she kind of knows what she wants to say and she just doesn't feel ready to say it yet. She just doesn't feel she has the skills to yet. And it's almost helping people deal with that psychological aspect of writing because it's very, very personal. We feel we're giving ourselves, even if we're writing a company homepage, it feels very, very personal.
Can you give me an example of how you have helped someone to change the way they do business through changing their writing?
That's an interesting way. I mean, I think whenever you think about writing, I mean, I've been helping a client at the moment who they're trying to raise money for a big project, and they put together a series of slide decks, and there's a team of them, and it had gone around the team, and these slide decks I think had got more and more impenetrable and more internally focused, more and more about us, the organization, rather than, well, these people we're asking money for, what can we provide them? And so just bringing in an outsider, I came in and looked at these slides for them and helped them to see the world from the reader's perspective. And that's the thing that people really, really struggle with. People really struggle to overcome that sort of empathy barrier and see the world as a customer or a client, rather than as you, the organization, looking from the inside to out, if that makes sense. So helping them to reframe the way they view what they did, to see it as an outsider, has really helped. And I spoke to the client earlier on today, and it sounds like they're making movement and have made huge progress towards this goal of actually raising this money that they need to do. So it's very much about changing the way you see the world, almost.
Okay. I get it. I absolutely get it. Well, I want to talk with you about the entrepreneur side, setting this up, getting this together. So let's talk about that in a moment. We'll take a brief break here, come back in about 90 seconds. This is Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and our special guest today across the pond in London is Dr. Claire Lynch, a business writing coach, author, and teacher of academic writing and communication at the University of Cambridge. We'll be back in a moment, and we'll be taking questions end of the program if you would like to call in. Hello and welcome back to Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson-Powell, and our special guest today from London, England, is Dr. Claire Lynch, business writing coach, author, and teacher of academic writing and communication at the University of Cambridge. So we've been talking about the actual service that she provides. Now I want to talk with you, Claire, a bit about becoming an entrepreneur. When was the day, when was the moment that you decided, I'm not working for anyone else, I'm going to do this, this is my strength, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make money at it, I'm going to do what I love, make money at it, spread love, change the world?
Well, I suspect it was always in me because both my parents were self-employed. My father was a driving instructor and my mother ran her own B&B. So I think I never had the model of the parent who, you know, went out, did the daily commute, briefcase in hand, came back at 7 o'clock. And I never had that model of going out to work in a company. And somehow I found myself doing that, doing the daily commute. And I was working for a large global investment bank in their communications team. And I'm not good at corporate politics. I find large, sprawling organizations bureaucratic and frustrating in that sense. And the day just came when I thought, I don't want to be here. I want to have my own little agency. I want to strike out on my own, and I did, and I've not looked back. I do remember that the day I handed in my notice, I called my mum, when she was still alive then, and told her what I'd done, and she was practically in tears on the phone because I'd given up this well-paid, very stable job that you know seemed glamorous and prestigious, and I'd given it up to go into nothing. And it always struck me as an irony that she found that so upsetting, when it was like, well, I got my model from you guys, you know, I'm born of entrepreneurs, and it was in my blood.
Did your parents feel that they worked and did as they did so that you would be able to get a corporate job and that would be more security for you?
I guess I think they worked hard. They were very, very big on education. So they worked hard so that I could get a great education. And I'm so grateful for that because it's what allows me to do what I do. But I don't know. I think the fact that I had got this sort of glamorous job in London, probably, yeah, it impressed them and they liked it, and they probably hoped to see me move up the ladder rather than take this leap of faith into nowhere. So yeah, I don't know. Parents always worry about kids.
So when you left out there into nothing, in the tarot, there's a card, the Fool card, and it is about stepping out into the unknown, stepping off of a cliff, not knowing if you're actually going to be able to walk on air or if you're going to fall down into the canyon.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What did you do? You gave your notice, and that first day that you were not working at that company, did not have to get up, get dressed, eat breakfast, and go in. What did you do? How did you get this started? Did you make a phone call? Did you arrange your home office? What did you do?
I can't specifically remember what I did on that first day, but I mean, I know a lot of my friends who work in the corporate world, they say to me, oh my God, how do you do it? If I were at home all day, I'd just switch the TV on. And I've never done that, partly because I don't have a TV, but I've never had a problem motivating myself to work. But one of the benefits of leaving a large firm is that firm then becomes your client. So I started writing for them, you know, on a freelance basis, pretty soon after leaving. So there was a certain degree of safety net there. And a lot of those people that I used to work with are still my clients, still my friends, still my contacts. So
if you're coming from the corporate world to work for yourself, is to start with doing a freelance contracting.
Yeah. One of the other early things I did was to, I knew that because I was an unknown quantity, I knew I had to demonstrate my expertise to people who had never heard of me. I mean, it was fine working for demonstrating my expertise to the company I'd left. They knew that I could do the job and they loved me. But to strangers, how do you demonstrate your expertise? So one of the first things I did was started a blog, which is still with me. I still update, not as often as I would like, which is just a blog about good and bad business writing, which is a way to demonstrate my knowledge of writing, demonstrate my abilities as a writer just by virtue of providing blog posts every week or so. So that was one of the other things that I did. And I think that is probably the biggest challenge, is how do you build trust in your expertise for someone who doesn't know you?
Okay, so it's to make yourself known. And a blog is, of course, a very actually quick and easy way to get started in doing that.
Yeah.
So if someone came to you and said that they wanted to be an entrepreneur, they wanted to start their own business, what would you say to them in terms of what are three things that you think they need to know to be to succeed as an entrepreneur?
Well, one of the first of all, you have to know that it's right for you. For some people, it just is not the right thing. But I think if you're making that leap, it probably is the right thing for you. I mean, I have known one or two people who've made the leap and then have gone, oh, actually, I like the structure and stability of the corporate world. So first of all, is it really for you? Do that hard questioning. The second thing is one of the things, and this is related, which is that as an entrepreneur, you have to feel comfortable with the idea that you haven't got that regular wage coming in. And in your early years, what that can lead you to do is just to take on more and more work until you are fit to burst because you're terrified of not being able to pay your rent or put food on the table. And certainly in my early years, I wouldn't say I burnt out, but I certainly burnt the candle at both ends almost because of that fear of the day when I would have no work. And actually, the work always somehow appears, even if you're not expecting it and you don't go out and look for it, somehow it arrives.
I'm a great believer in believing in yourself and in believing that this moment can be the next moment, trusting that, yes, the work will continue to come in as long as you are continuing to work, not overworking. There's no need to work 12 hours a day, I think, and 15 hours a day and kill yourself.
Because then you're no good to anyone anyway.
True.
But that is a temptation that we all are going to succumb to at some point, I think.
And another thing that you would tell someone
thing
who
is
just
I
starting?
Tell, I guess I do think it helps to have support, because it can be quite a lonely existence. I mean, I did a PhD for 6 years, so I'm quite used to feeling lonely and alone. But I think having the support, of a partner, if you don't have that, of a network of other entrepreneurs, like we've got on Udemy Women Rock. I mean, there's such a wonderful, supportive network of women that are, circling around in your orbit, Barrett. So make those connections, keep in touch with people, and also that's where you're going to find your business. I mean, for all that I've put a blog out there and that I'm active on social media, the best way to get a client actually is just to sit and have coffee with someone. So it's about keeping those networks for the sake of your business, and I think also for the sake of your own sanity.
I think it is good to have support. Support comes in. There are so many people who can support you. I think that is an excellent piece of advice for someone who is going to become an entrepreneur, because I know that having support really helped me. As an entrepreneur, I was working alone in my apartment, and that was basically it. In fact, I went outside my apartment so little that my neighbors made in the complex made me make an agreement that if they didn't see my car move after 7 days, they would come, they would knock on the door. I had to answer the door, and then I had to agree to take a walk with them out to the pool so that they could be sure that no one was holding me hostage in the apartment. That I was alive and that no one was holding me hostage. So we had to walk all the way. I couldn't just say, oh, I'm fine, goodbye. We had to walk all the way out to the pool and walk around, get some fresh air. Then I would come back, and then for another 7 to 11 days, I'd be sitting in my park, just working away. So, yes, you do need to have some support and get out and do things. I even had a person who came. She was sort of my... maid. She really assisted me with a lot of things. She cleaned for me. She did my laundry. She ran errands and things like that so that I didn't have to take care of, like, little things. And then she would come once a week, and when I would be working while she was doing her thing, and then when she was done doing her thing and making my whole environment beautiful and clean and spiffy, then we would go to lunch. I would take her to lunch, and we would just hang out for an hour or two. And that was really wonderful, just to hang out and talk about much of nothing.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to have those kinds of things. And if you have a partner, yes, most definitely if you have a partner, I think you need really to utilize that. Well, you mentioned Udemy Women Rock, and that's because we came together around a group of women who are putting their knowledge online, who are teaching, doing online teaching. And I want to talk a bit about that and a bit about your specific course when we come back in a moment, okay? This is Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson-Powell. We've been talking with the wonderful Dr. Claire Lynch of London. I love being able to say that. I feel so happy that I'm talking to someone across the pond. So we'll be back in about 90 seconds. Hello and welcome back to Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson-Powell, and our special guest today is entrepreneur, Dr. Claire Lynch of London, England. So, Claire, as I said before the break, we came into contact with one another through a group of women who are putting their knowledge online, who are teaching online, and you teach an online course. So I would love if you would tell people the name of your course and what you are giving them in this course and how you've put this together.
Okay, well, it's my first online course, and it's called Business Writing, How to Win Anyone Over with Your Words. And I think it's because it's my first baby, it is pretty much everything that I know about writing has gone into this course. So it's a very, very comprehensive course that talks about how to write in a way that persuades and motivates your reader. So it covers everything from how to deal with writer's block, how to shake off that mantle that I talked about earlier where people feel they need to be writerly when all that business jargon creeps in. And it talks a lot about how to craft a sentence that sings, how to convey technical ideas or complex ideas in a way that's simple and clear and engaging and human. There's a big section of the course on storytelling, which is all about how to write in a way that moves people emotionally. Because even in business, we are emotional creatures. We make decisions based on gut instinct as much as intellect. So it's a very wide-ranging course. I had a lot of fun putting it together and crystallizing all I've learned myself over the years. And, check it out.
Well, that sounds absolutely amazing. So if I took this course, what would I be able to, when I finish this course, what will I be able to do after having taken this course? What is it you see as an outcome as a result for your students?
Well, first of all, you would be able to write in a much more purposeful way. A lot of my one-to-one coaching students, the number one question I get asked is, am I writing too slowly? How can I speed up the process? And actually, there's no answer to that, because actually writing can be time-consuming, and even professional writers find it hard to blast something out really quickly. But what you will learn is you will learn how to deal with that and how to quick ways in to a piece of writing so that when you sit down to write, you know exactly what you need to achieve. I think a big mistake of a lot of business writing is that it doesn't seem to have a purpose. The number of corporate memos that I've read from my time in the corporate world that were, you know, 1,000 words long and didn't actually say anything. And the point about business writing is that it needs to be action-oriented. What you want is a response from your reader. So you want the customer to buy your product. You want the investor to invest in your startup. You want the employee to do certain things to make your strategy happen. So it's very, very purpose-driven. So I talk a lot about focusing in on that purpose and getting that action so that you can persuade people to do what you want.
So during the course, are students able, through your online course while they're taking it, are they able to submit things to you and have you give them feedback?
Throughout the course, I've sprinkled little exercises to practice what has been learned so that they can, as I say, put it into practice. And if they do that, I will always respond with comments and suggestions. If anyone wanted to get personal feedback on a piece of writing that they were doing for their own business or for their own as part of their own jobs, as something that was sort of separate from the course, then they would probably need to talk to me about some one-to-one coaching.
Okay, so they're able to contact you in regards to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So this, I think when people hear online learning, they're not quite, unless they're already doing it, they're really not sure how this exactly works. So can you break it down a little bit about what, if someone comes in and they sign up for the course, what will they, how will they be learning things? What tools will be used to teach them in this course?
Well, the great thing about online learning is that you can do it at your own pace and in your own time. And I do real world training as well, where a company will bring me in and I will, you know, you'll have a group of students for an afternoon, but nobody can learn to write in an afternoon. And the great thing about online learning is that you can go back. So, you know, I might have a video on, in fact, I do have a video on getting to know your reader so you know who it is you're trying to persuade and building a profile of your reader. So at any time, you can go back and remind yourself of what it is you need to do before you even start writing, the sort of writing without writing part of writing, if you know what I mean. And also I provide things like a little cheat sheet that will allow you to sort of fill in and build a profile of your reader. So that's a tool that you can use. And another thing that I do in the course a lot is I point people to external tools, free, there's loads of tools out there online that can help you to write better, that can help you improve your readability, help you assess just how lean and readable your writing is. And so, you know, they get access to all those tools.
Okay, and in typically in, so that people know, in an online course, there may be a number of different learning technologies, I guess we could call them.
Yep.
You've mentioned a video, and then there apparently are items they can download, which tend to be PDFs. PowerPoint presentations, mashups. I don't know if you have a mashup in your course, which is a combination of a number of different technologies.
Yeah. Really,
well, you'll have to get sophisticated and be able to do a mashup.
And all the quizzes and stuff that cement learning. And the great thing that from a tutor's perspective is I can look at the results of quizzes and see what it is that students are struggling with. And that can give me ideas for, well, how can I present that information in a way that gets the message clearer? Or does this mean that I need to provide more content around that? So it's a very, that's the other thing about online learning, I think, is that the student and the teacher, the students teach the teacher as much as you know, the teacher teaches them. I mean, I learn so much from teaching anyway. It really helps me to find fresher ways to convey ideas I love it.
Yes. I like the way that we are able to include all those different technologies, and for example, quizzes. I think they do help a student to be able to check in. Now, have you been getting feedback on your course?
Yeah. Feedback is that it's very helpful. I had one student who has written me the most glorious review. It was actually too long to fit in the little box that Udemy, the technology, provides. I mean, it was a 5-star review. And
We want to hear it. We want to hear it. What's this wonderful review?
She basically said that it has completely transformed the way she writes, and that if you want to learn to write, this is the course for you. So it was very, very lovely. And she was a brilliant student, because, you know, as an instructor, we can check and track student progress. And she burned through the course really quickly. She submitted loads of responses to all the exercises that I'd set. She was a brilliant student, and she obviously got a lot out of the course. So, but it's early days, so I'm still hoping to get more reviews.
So, all right, as an entrepreneur who is teaching business writing, what are you doing to market yourself? What insights have you gained about marketing? What is it you've been doing, and what is it you feel that you need to do in terms of marketing?
Well, it's funny. Writing about yourself, marketing yourself, is the hardest thing in the world. You know, I would love to be able to employ a writer to market my course for me. But one thing I have learned, I mean, the most sales that I have made have come via my blog. So via my terribly large mailing list of people who over the years have found my blog interesting and engaging and entertaining. And so that's where you're going to get your most sales, is from the audience that is already thirsty for your stuff. That's so what I want to do is build that list. I want to keep blogging, keep providing valuable content, interesting blog posts, so that people pretty much want to be part of that list where they get to hear about more offers and more courses. So I think that's the area to focus on. Another thing that I'm planning to do is speaking. I love having an audience, speaking on a stage, you know, lecturing. It's much easier, by the way, than actually filming a video. Talking to a room full of 500 people is much easier than talking to that cold, dead stare of the camera. So that's been a challenge as part of this process. But using speaking events to promote my course, I think that's probably the other strands that I'm going to use.
Okay, so you haven't been using, or have you been using Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter? I haven't found any use yet for Instagram, but I have been using Pinterest. So do you use any of those social media tools?
I'm fairly active on Twitter, and I've made a few sales. But the thing about Twitter is that someone who reads your blog is going to be much more engaged and going to be much more aware of your stuff than someone on Twitter. So I have made a few sales on Twitter, yeah. I'm also on LinkedIn. So far, haven't found that to be as successful as the blog, but maybe I need to work on that. And similarly with Facebook. So I think for me, it's the blog, and just the social media is just the stuff around it that I use to promote the blog, really.
Pinterest. Yes. Well, that's what I mean. You can use Twitter, Facebook, all those things to direct people to blog posts and get them to your main source.
Yeah.
And there you can put your content.
Yeah.
Instead of having to go around and around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's most effective for you in building a list. And that's something that people who want to become an entrepreneur have to realize, must realize, they must do. You need to build a list. You need to build a list of people who will read your stuff, who will know about your company, who will hear what you have to say. Build a list. You've got to have those numbers.
Yeah. And so that's my biggest priority is making that list bigger, because at the moment it's fairly small, but still has given me most of my income from Udemy. So I think that tells you quite a lot. And a lot of people kind of expect Udemy, you know, the site where we host our courses. They kind of expect Udemy to do the work
online
for
learning.
You.
For those who don't know, Udemy, UDEMY.com, is one of the most prominent, I think, online learning platforms. There are a number that are springing up, but Udemy is one of the biggest, one of the most well-known for if you want to take an online course or teach an online course.
Yeah, and they've got an audience of 6 million users, is it, at last count? So, you know, there's a potential to take your message out there to 6 million people, but you need to be doing the work yourself.
Yes, you have to actually work to put your course together. So that takes a bit of creativity. As an entrepreneur, you sometimes find that you do need to reach out and stretch yourself and do some things that you may not have thought. I don't know about you, Claire, you can say, but I certainly didn't think in 1996, 1998, I don't think I ever thought that I would be, that I had the ability to put together an online course.
Certainly not, yeah. 1996, I'm not sure I thought I had the ability to do anything very much, really. And it does seem to be the way forward. I mean, I think, you know, as I say, I often do training courses inside companies, but actually getting people to helping people finding the time to spend a day in a training room is really, really tricky. It's a real challenge because people in large corporations, they're busy. And so being able to fit your learning around your job, to not have to leave your desk for a day and then come back to 100 emails, to be able to do it at your own pace and to be able to return to it, I think it's an incredibly valuable way of learning.
Well, that makes me ask, are you marketing your course to companies that would, instead of having to pay for and take the time out for an entire day for continued education for their employees, would rather buy your course or in some kind of a way or, you know, for their employees? Have you thought about or already started marketing your course to companies?
I would say it's at the thinking about stage rather than the actual execution stage. Certainly that is something that that will be part of the marketing plan at some point, because because a lot of my own personal contacts, my clients, are in the, you know, they are working for big corporations. It's just finding that person, that decision maker in a large company it's always the struggle when you're an entrepreneur that serves a large company, is that, you know, getting the person that makes the decision to hire you. It doesn't matter if your contact there loves you, if they need to get a signature. So, but that's definitely, I think, going to be a strand, and maybe the way to do that is through speaking events where you get a big corporate audience. Yeah. But it's finding time to
call. Yes, it's a little challenging at first, to a little daunting to start out to try to do this, but then after you've done it, it's much easier. We have really advanced from the days of having to. I can tell you that in 1996, 1998, the way that you had to build your audience online was you had to spend hours sitting in a chat room waiting for people to come in and then having to chat. Yes, in a chat room, hours sitting in a chat room. Well, with people with all kinds of very interesting names, usernames, to be able to get them, you could get some one-to-one clients, and then of course blogs came along, and you could write a blog and start to get people from there. But if you weren't a very good writer, it really didn't help you necessarily to have a blog, you know, because if you couldn't write well, the blog wasn't going to attract anyone. So again, you were back to the chat room. So it was very, very different. And of course, getting a website up was also quite challenging then, until Blogger kind of came up. You could sort of make a site out of your blog, but in terms of getting a website, there were people who were just making thousands of dollars off of people for websites. It was a very challenging thing, and So now jump ahead, 15, 20 years, and getting a website up is possible in 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting your blog going. I mean, you can hire people to write your blog, your blog pieces. It's amazing. But now, of course, now there's online learning, so that people can, they want to learn business writing. I may even take your course. Want to learn business writing? Can take your course and, as you said, go at their own pace. Well, this is a wonderful work that you are doing as an entrepreneur, and very insightful tips or reminders about making sure that you have a support network, a partner. Also, going freelance or contract when you first start out, after you've handed in that pink slip or decided that you're just not going to enter into the corporate world, use the sources that you already have. And in order to get yourself started, and time management, you can't do 15 hours a day. You have to just work and then work again the next day and work again the next day, and give yourself some time to also play. Work hard, play hard. Well, we've been talking with Dr. Claire Lynch of London, England. She's an entrepreneur who is an author, business writing coach, and a teacher of academic writing and communication at the University of Cambridge. It has been wonderful to speak with you, Claire, and we'll be back again with someone else. Tomorrow we're talking with Dr. Valerie Whiting, and she has been working with autism and learning disabilities. So my name is Barrett Clemenson Powell. This has been Live with Barrett. And I hope that you will tune in again tomorrow when we talk with another amazing entrepreneur. Thank you, Claire, for coming on board today and talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, everyone, have a great day.